Hey guys, and welcome to episode 43 of Dad Knows Best. I am Harrison Wedge, and I'm with my co-host, Adam Callow. How you doing?
I'm all right, mate. Good spirits.
Good.
End of the week.
Good. For anyone that's new to the show, either listening or watching, this is a show about just a couple of G's, a couple of OG's, dads. He's got two kids. I've got the one. He's now 6 months. Your boys are 6 and 3. Got it right this time.
Correct.
And just a little bit of a follow-up from not the previous episode, but I think the episode before when we were questioning when's a baby not a baby anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The wife gave me a clarification as well, but I completely forgot. But
it's something about food, wasn't it?
Yeah, 6 months. He's moved on to stage 2 follow-on milk. So he's not a newborn. He's a baby.
Okay.
So pop tip. But now the stage 2 food is like, I think that's it. Because he's eating normal food as well.
Mm-hmm.
He'll probably get to like 12 months and then he'll just want solids. And then he's just at what, I guess he's in, that's when he transitions to the toddler mode, right?
Toddler, yeah.
Mode, like he's a transformer.
You press the button on the back, make sure he's fully charged. I find it interesting, actually, because you were like, okay, we're going to jump on the mics, DKB time. And you said to me, like, what's the topic?
Yeah, because you said to me,
we had a conversation.
The thing is, I can't for the life of me remember what you said, because it was like, it was Monday. You said it, and you're like, I've got a topic for Dad Knows Best this week. So instantly at that point, I went, sweet. Unless something big happens in my life and my boy's life, then we'll go with your topic. As it is, listeners and viewers, not much has happened. Just a lot more feeding, mm-hmm. pooping. One thing I've been meaning to ask you and everyone is, at what point in all of our lives do we learn to not throw up everything that we consume?
We're talking about Elliot or your dog. I know your dog does
a
it
bit
too.
Of both, but like,
I think Elliot gets it from Frank. That's the problem.
Like, Elliot just, and all kids, I assume, they just can't keep it all down. Like, as long as he doesn't move.
You made it sound aggressive, though.
As long as you don't shake him, he's like, you know, like a pressure sensitive bomb, if you will. Like, you'll give him some milk, you'll give him some food, but just like, keep motion.
It's like Buckaroo.
It is Buckaroo.
It's Buckaroo. It's touching that thing. You keep doing something, or the eventually it's gonna
or the
go off.
Or the pirate barrel where you put the the little swords in.
Pirate, no.
Oh, Google that. Anyone, Google it, and anyone, John, who's listening, John, pull the car over, Google pirate pop-up toy, and basically it's a barrel, and you take it in turns, obvs, and you put swords in, mm-hmm. and it's similar to like Buckaroo, but one of those will make the pirate jump out,
okay,
and obviously you lose.
Cool, okay. It's like that with the baby. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. So you feed him. Don't shake him too much. Don't move him too much.
Don't shake him at all.
Well, come on. We're past the point of that worry now. But yeah, don't rattle him about. Just keep any transitions from like lap to chair or anything like that super smooth, because otherwise he's going to go pop.
Pirate's going to come out.
He's going to be all down you.
You can't remember the topic, can you?
Honestly, cannot for the life of me.
It wasn't a big topic. It was just interesting. So me and Sarah last week, we probably for the first time ever, we decided to work out what a financial plan should look like for me and Sarah for 3 to 5 years. You got it now, yeah?
Yeah, got it now.
Yeah, so
this is why I remember thinking that's a really good point. That's a good topic.
So we were talking about it. And one thing that we did when we had Riley, so Riley's now 6, is when he was, I don't know, a year, 18 months old.
Yeah.
We started putting some savings for him. And we realized when we put our financial plan together that boy's got some cash. Great. Reggie, on the other hand, has no bank account. He has no money. And we technically, if we were trying to keep things even between the two kids, Reggie would have had the same thing for the last 18 months. So now there's like a deficit to work out to sort of get them equal. And our plan is to sort of help them have that towards their first house or something. Mm-hmm. So we're saving for them. But I wanted to like bring up the topic of like savings and financial planning for kids, and how you, one, do you think about saving for L?
Mm-hmm.
Two, What's your just general thoughts on how you're going to educate your kid to be a bit more financially savvy to what probably me and you were as kids? Like, as we grew up, we didn't get any financial training. And I think that's, I could go down on a tangent here right now, because I think school absolutely fails kids on training them on some really important stuff. And one of them is just financial planning, credit scores, and the knock-on impact it has when you do stupid stuff as a kid, who I've personally done a lot of stupid stuff.
So there's a few things there. I think
unpack it.
Let me unpack it. How long you got? Let me just unpack it. Don't know why I'm undoing a zip.
For those of you that need to go over to YouTube.
In regards to like education on spending and finances and money and things like that, it's my mind kind of goes to, well, you're just trying to teach them good practice and stuff like that. But
most people don't know what that is.
But the issue sometimes is that your kids don't necessarily want to listen to dad's advice. Mm-hmm. Like as much as
Mark, did you hear that?
Honestly, and he used to always say it. He'd always be like, "You'll."
Mark's Harry's dad, by the way.
Yeah. By the way, a special episode coming up soon. It's my birthday on June the 21st, which is also the same day as Father's Day.
Oh, what? Really?
So I'm thinking we're going to do a special Father's Day Dad Knows Best episode.
You're going to get Dad on the mic?
Going to get Papa Mudge on the mic.
That's going to be sick.
But anyway, so he's shared a lot of wisdom in his time. He's done a lot, got his own business, all this jazz. So he's got a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. And obviously when someone's got experience, you should listen to them, because there's a lot of takeaways that you can learn from a lot of the time, because they've gone through things without you having to. But when you're young, you don't want to. You're too cool for that.
Exactly. You know? I make my own mistakes, thanks, Dad.
Yeah. Let me pave my own destiny.
Exactly.
And now that I'm older, I realize that he spoke so much wisdom, so much knowledge.
I apologize.
I'm going to make a note of that so no one's deafened by your sneeze.
So if you hear that, by the way, guys, when it went silent, just it was not silent, but Harry has saved you.
So a lot of wisdom, a lot of advice, and it just kind of, some of it has brushed off, and he probably never really said too much about savings. Not that I can remember, anyway. Maybe I just blanked it out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, where was I going with that? So in regards to advice, so that was the thing. Sorry, but one thing I did take away from my dad, sort of subconsciously, is I've never really been one to just. Hey, everyone loves spending, but I've somehow, for some reason,
you've got a frugal mentality.
Learned to spend only what I've got or can afford up to a limit. Obviously, we all have some debts and things like that, but I'm aware enough of my finances to know.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't do that.
You're not buying something really and then regretting it in a week because you needed it for
a
bill.
700 quid on something.
You're making conscious decisions with your payments completely. And I guess from my side is, I had it the other way around. Your dad's like fairly financially savvy. Mm-hmm. My dad wasn't. My dad, he was an absolute hustler, and he just had the mindset of, I'll spend it. If I need to make it, I'll make it. And mm-hmm. really rubbed off on me. And that taught me one skill in life. But I guess one thing, I can mention this because Sarah doesn't listen to the show, but my ex-girlfriend, Floss, so her dad was a bit of a role model in my life, and he was a financial planner. So wow. I've got a lot of education in the financial planning space, but being a kid, didn't apply any of it. And I guess...
Also, at a young age, though, it's not relevant.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's really hard.
Why didn't you tell me to take 10% of my salary and put it into savings before I pay anyone else? I ain't got a salary, Mark. Yeah. I'm still at school. Yeah. I'm just trying to do your daughter.
I'm doing a good.
But, like, the two books, oddly, not to make this like a book recommendation show, but the two books he actually recommended to me that I reread, not last year, the year before, when it actually meant something to me, was Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which I've read twice now, which I think is a good book. Who Moved My Cheese is the other one.
I've heard of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It's like feels like more of a mindset kind of mindset concept.
Yeah, it's the whole thing about Rich Dad Poor Dad is just when you buy something, often you're buying a liability.
Yeah.
Like when you buy something, it's not making you money, it's costing you money. So mm-hmm. what can you buy that makes you money? Make your money work for you, sort of thing. And Who Stole My Cheese is something similar, and it teaches you some different fundamentals. If someone wants to, I don't want to make this a book show. There are two books that are really easy to read, and I think it's worth.
What was it? Who
Moved My Cheese, not Who Stole My Cheese.
Who? Hey, it's not any better.
Who moved My Cheese?
I will make a note of these in the show notes.
I'd recommend it. And if you're a dad and you, I think every dad should listen to them or what I listen to stuff on Audible. Read the books, because then you can at least get educated yourself. I think every dad has a responsibility, and I'm saying dad because we're dads, but every parent has a responsibility to try and learn to be financially responsible. And to be really, really honest, me and you had a conversation about this earlier. For the first time in my life, I'm trying to be financially responsible. Even like budgeting and just not being as stupid as I am with like spending money on Starbucks. Mm. They're all the nice to haves, but I've realized the compound effects of what I could do with that cash over time for my kids and bits like that. So I'm financially planning right now. So to pull it back to what we were saying is savings for kids. Do you think you need them? Like, how do you think about it? And obviously it's all relative to what people can afford. I'm not talking about the value. I'm not talking about the amount.
No,
I'm talking about the concept.
But on that, if you, you're the maths guy at the table, but if you put away £10 a week for a kid until they're 18, mm-hmm. so let's call it 40 quid a month, that accumulates.
With interest will be about 15 grand.
That's a huge amount of money.
I need to check that, by the way. I think I'm pretty close.
Let's say it's 10 grand. Like that's a massive margin for error. But even so, 10 to 15,000 pounds mm-hmm. for only putting 40 quid away a month is a lot of money. And like the issue that we all get and face is that we get to 25, 30 years old. And it's like, maybe I should start saving. Maybe I should start being financially savvy. And by that point, you've already been spunking your money away on whatever.
And you're offered loads of credit cards and loans. You might have a house. All of a sudden, you've got some ability to get a 10K credit card.
Like if
I got given a credit card with £16,000 limit before I was financially responsible. Just fucking mental. If they,
that's huge.
If they, Amex, if they knew me, they wouldn't give me a 16 grand limit. Wow. That's available to withdraw at poker tables.
It doesn't geotag, does it? So we only kind of switch on to these things ourselves at an older age where it's not too late, but if you start saving 40 quid a month at 30, in 10 years, it's a lot less, right?
But I think
it's you're 50 by the time you're...
It's less impactful in terms of where you are. But I don't think that's true, you know. I don't think we know more now. I think because me and you are dads now, when it's just me, I'm saving for me in the future. And I'll look after... When I'm 40, I'll find my own money. I'll look after me. That's fine. I've got me sorted. Because we've got kids now, it's like, I can't live this day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year mentality. It's like, I need to be able to do what I want to do in life, but know that I'm actually making a positive impact to my kids. To your point, your dad's gone through loads of stuff. A dad's responsibility is to learn, make mistakes, pass the mistakes down to their kids so their kids can be better than them. Like that's the shift that I think I'm going through now. My kid's six. I probably should have done it a long time ago, but that's where I'm at.
Yeah. So what we're actually doing, just go back to the education for a second. So you learn stuff from your parents. Schools don't teach you shit, but they 100% should.
Yeah.
Like they used to back in our parents' days at school, they used to do home economics and stuff like that. So like basic stuff that like adults
need to know.
Like you don't learn those
household
things
bills,
now.
Cooking and stuff like
but
that.
Can I draw finances a fact on has you? Never been.
So I had an amazing
taught.
Interview with a woman from the EIC, and she said that one of the biggest outgoings of a family in our demographic, mm-hmm. in our industry, trade industry, is takeaways.
Yeah.
And then she was like, well, we didn't want to just say takeaways and leave it there. We wanted to know why. And then it's our demographic and then people that are younger than us who have gone through the similar education system. They're not taught home basics. They don't know how to cook. Their parents didn't teach them one thing, and we're not taught in school. We could make this a whole thing about education.
But that to your point there, though, like using Kat, who we work with, as an example, like she'd not really cooked chicken before, so she didn't know how long to cook it.
Put at
it
22 in, years old.
At 22 years old, didn't know like how to cook a batch cook chicken in an oven or pan cook it. Like she was too scared. There's nothing wrong with learning any skill. It doesn't take long to learn that it's like 20 minutes or whatever.
And Kat, by the way, when you listen to this, we're not digging at you. We're just saying that people in your position.
It's just a perfect example, yeah. Though, right? That chicken, like to someone that knows how to cook a chicken,
yep.
It's a very simple thing to cook. But if you don't know, you don't know. So it's just like, and finances are really the same, right? It's like, don't spend more than you can afford and put certain amounts away for certain things, and like the very simple concepts. But if you're not aware of it, if you don't think about it, if you're not taught these things, then they're all foreign concepts. It's like, and then you start asking yourself, why do I have no money for anything? Mm-hmm. And it's actually just because you just spend everything that you're given, and you spend more than you've actually got because you've got some credit cards. You can't afford to clear them every month. And that £3,000 that you've built up is now charging you 50, 60 pound interest a month, so you're only paying off 40 quid.
Interest is like, a bitch. Credit card interest is a bitch. Yeah. Personal loan interest is a bit like, just pay that down. That's the thing that I've learned in the last 7 days as well. But
we live in a very immediate, you want everything now. Let me get the phone now, but on finance. Let me buy the thing now on credit. And then you're on to the next thing straight away. But you've not paid anything back.
Yeah, we're also being trained as a, I don't want to say as a demo, but as a, like nearly cult, I want to go as far as nearly say culturally, we're being trained to everything is on either on tick, as in on finance, mm-hmm. or on subscription. Like we don't look at stuff as a £400 purchase anymore. £400 as a purchase, you go, whoa, why can't I buy my Bose system at £8 a month? Like we see everything mm-hmm. in increments, installment payments.
But that's more manageable though, right? When it comes to, again, you're the numbers guy, but when it comes to cash flow, it does make sense to have something on 0%
finance. 0%
finance
makes complete sense. Like if I could buy everything on 0%, I would, because cash in your hand is better than cash in someone else's pocket. Simple. But most things aren't. And it's even the smallest percentage can compound over time. Mm-hmm. To your question earlier, is like to teach people the fundamentals of do this, put this away, do that. I agree with that. But I think education needs to go one step deeper. And I'm going to try and teach my kids is you should save, but not you should save. You should save, and here's why. Because guess what? There's this thing called your credit score, and it's gonna change everything in your life between 22 and 45 years old.
It's this number that dictates people's decisions on you, but you can't see it, and it's very difficult to actually see or know why someone's based this decision on that number.
Yeah.
But your world revolves around it, and mistakes cost more than any positive action.
Credit scores are like reputation. Regains. They take forever to build mm-hmm. and fucking seconds to destroy. Like seconds to destroy. And I've been there. Between the ages of 18 and 22, my fucking credit score was not a roller coaster, it was a cliff. Very simple. I made mistakes, did not know the impact of missing one or two credit card repayments or loan repayments. Did not know. I know now. My kids are going to know. Mm-hmm. I wish I'd been taught that.
Yeah, that's the only time you've even become aware of a credit score, right? It's
yeah.
Like, oh, sorry, you can't.
You know when it's a problem.
You can't have this. I'm like, what do you mean? It's like the credit checks.
The computer said no.
It said no. It's like, what's it testing? It's like, well, it's just based on your credit score.
And you know why?
Okay, what is a credit score?
Then you learn, and it's like you say, you're only aware of it when it's a problem.
Yeah.
And the thing is, and no discredit to my parents, but they didn't teach me about it. But they didn't teach me about it because they dealt in cash. Like that, my family was a family that dealt in cash. If you've got cash, you can afford it. If you don't have cash, you can't. Mm-hmm. They never had credit cards or loans or shit. That's not that's not how my dad was raised. But all of a sudden,
that's
in my
not
generation,
necessarily a bad situation.
No, definitely not. But what it meant is my dad didn't have the savviness to say, "Listen, kid, credit cards mean this," because he didn't have them. Mm. He hasn't been experienced them.
Sure.
So he didn't teach me about them. So I made mistakes. We all have to make mistakes, but I wish school was better prepared for it.
What's your credit score nowadays?
960, 961, 962. I'm on Experian. I use the free thing on that.
Yeah.
I missed the payment the other day on my fucking phone bill because it's out of direct. And obviously it has a significant impact when you miss one bill. Yeah. But about 960. It's been as low as like 400, mate. I'll be honest with you. Like 400. That's when you literally walk in and ask for credit and they laugh.
It's so...
you're on the wall. You're not getting any credit. That's your picture.
It's so weird. It's so weird because mine was obviously really good at, before I even knew what it was. I remember one time trying to, I can't remember whether I tried to get a loan or borrow some money or get a credit card or whatever and got declined. And that's when I learned about what a credit score was. I was like, well, how am I supposed to build up a credit score if I've got
no credit?
Yeah. Like, and it was that weird. So, but then there's credit cards out there that allow it and all this. Anyway, once I got on the credit train, it's obviously always been good because I've never, I can't remember a time that I've ever been declined something. And if I have, I've gone to someone else and had a different agreement and it's always gone through. So, because also with a credit score is there's three companies that track it and you're responsible if they don't have the right records.
Yeah,
so depending on how someone does a credit check on you can determine whether you've got it or not. And I know for a fact that I've in theory got two credit scores. Because at one point they've got me down as
if you split my credit score in two, I'd be fucked back then.
But I've literally got, if you go to Equifax, my credit record, I think, is under the name of Harry. And I had a couple of cards or whatever on
under Harry, under Harrison Harry. Over Experian or something.
But my actual name is Harrison. So my actual good credit score, they're both good now, but like back in the day, there's like two accounts crazy, that have just got made
and
up numbers.
Do you think you're expected to manage that and correct that? Yeah, even though it's something you've been educated on. It's crazy.
I contacted them once saying, I think you've got a few details that are slightly incorrect. So like my address, I needed to update with them because they somehow didn't have it. Even though I'm on the electoral roll and all this jazz. And I think the name's wrong and stuff like that. It's like, cool. Can you send like all these documents, proof of residency, proof of income for the past three? I'm like, nah, I'm just not going to do it. Why should I jump through the hoops that you've not been able to control?
So, education, failure on credit.
Yeah.
I completely agree with that. How do you think about it when it comes to L as a parent? What are you going to do?
It's tricky. So,
or is it, let's be fair to you, is it even on your radar? It's on my radar now more because Riley's six.
Well, I guess Riley's like asking for things or...
Yeah, we're teaching him the value of money now. We started teaching him probably from about 5 years old the value of money in terms of when he asks for stuff, it's on a shelf. He needs to understand that there's a price tag and there's pennies and pounds associated to it. And then we signed up to something called Go Henry, which was interesting, which is his own credit card. Sorry, debit card. It's his own. So we load money on as a savings thing for him. He does chores. He earns, I think it's £4 a week on his debit card. And he gets to spend that. So then he understands there's this, I've earned this, there's a transaction, and we're trying to get him a bit more educated. So that's one thing that we're doing, but Elle's 4.5 years younger, 5 years younger than Riley, so.
So he gets child tax benefits, whatever that is. So we get that, and I think Emmy's putting that she's just putting that to one side.
So 80 quid a month or something, is that it?
Yeah, it's not an insignificant amount, really, considering it's being given. So we put that away, and that's kind of, right now, I guess, is like spend if we need it for Elliot.
Yep.
Which, for example, we've got like 400 quid-ish set aside for him already. Buying him a mattress for his cot. Cool. Because it's like £100.
Yep.
So we're starting the saving train already, which is good. When it comes to education, I don't know. Like I say, I'm pretty kind of, like, I won't buy anything just without thinking about it, considering it. So when it comes to him saying, Daddy, Daddy, can I get this? Obviously, you're going to get the Fortnite Nerf guns and everything like that. But like, hell yeah, whatever you want, son. But then when he starts
asking... Anything you can play with, we're all good.
Anything that we both benefit... I mean, you've got to think about this, though, as well. Like, I don't get to play games a lot anymore, but still like to buy. I've got an Xbox, got a Switch, and we'll get the new machines when they come out, even though I probably won't have a lot of time to play them. Mm-hmm. But he'll already get access to those anyway. So in theory, is it a saving? Not sure, but at least there'll be a console that he gets to play on and things like that. When it comes to spending, I don't know. I think, like you say, you've just got to explain the value of money and And I mean, I don't know how you explain how much a pound is or £10 is to someone, because when they see daddy's got the house and the car and the TV or and the whatever, when daddy wants something, he seems to just be able to buy it. They're not really seeing the process of you going, well, I need to make sure that we've got enough money in the bank for the bills. And then it's took me 3 months to put X amount away each month. I guess that's where pocket money comes in, right?
Yeah, pocket money is
great. You give them an income of £5 a week or whatever. I don't know what it works
out. Yes and no. I think pocket money on a weekly basis is flawed unless the kid works for it. And I generally believe that. So my dad used to have me cutting hedges. So he used to pay me like £5 to cut hedges for 3 or 4 hours. Fucking manual labor. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. But
you're understanding that...
Cause then you, sorry to interrupt, but then you give a child a choice. You say, listen, you can do that work for 3 hours and you can afford that. Mm-hmm. If you don't put in that work, you can't afford that. Make a choice. Yeah. That's what I think is empowering.
So that's interesting you say that, and we'll wrap it up because we're running out of time. But that when a child's earning money, it's amazing how quick they are. So I remember a time when my little brother Ollie would ask mum and dad for something, and obviously parents will buy stuff all the time. But then all of a sudden, she started giving him pocket money. And then when he wanted something, she'd be like, okay, well, you can have it, obviously, if you've got the money in your pocket money. And then he either wouldn't have the money, or if he did, he'd be like, ooh, you mean I've got to buy it? And it's like, wow, I've got the money, but if I spend it, I've not got the money to buy anything else. And and just like a light switch, it went from like, can I have this? Can I have this? To, oh, I can have it if I want it, but I'll have to pay for it myself. I'll just hoard this money. And he's become a hoarder of money, basically. He splurges every now and then on something that he really wants.
Yeah, it's fine.
But it's amazing how much he's transitioned to just, I don't want to just lose this money. It's almost like the thing is not as, he clearly doesn't want it as much because he has to let go of this stuff.
I think probably just to wrap up, I think the way that you educate kids in this space around finances is by empowering them to make a decision or a choice, should mm-hmm. I say, a choice. Once they can say this or that, or if I do that, I get that, then it's on them to make a decision. I think the biggest faults that I have is when my family is, and this is not a dig at Sarah, and I think many mums are the same and probably get a bunch of emails saying, don't categorize us like this. But we got two boys. They can play on mum, really easy manipulator. Mm-hmm. She bends fairly quick.
But you also want to spoil your boys, right? Because you love them to bits.
100%. My boy's got a fucking iPad Pro, man. Because...
And on that note,
Fortnite glitches on it's not on it. On that note, wrap it up before I get abused.
But you have, so on that point though, you have a PS4, you have a Switch, and Fortnite is on both of those things as well.
I know, man. But he enjoys it more on an iPad Pro, and you like to spoil your boys.
You do. And on that expensive note, we will leave it there. But I think we made some really good points. The whole. Make,
I'd love to allow people
them
think
to
about
make
this.
A decision is really a really interesting point.
Train them on the value of money and then let them make a decision. Mm-hmm. Guys, I would honestly love to hear your feedback on this because it's something that is really relevant for me right now. Whatever you've done or however you think about this, email it into dadknowsbest@nbs.fm. Fire the email in. So wherever you listen to it now, just take 3 minutes and drop us a line. We'd love to talk about it on a future show. Anything from UH just to draw us to the close.
Now, mate, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Leave a review. Click like, click subscribe.
YouTube everything. Dad knows best. If you've got this far, YouTube Dad knows best.
Put a face to the name.
Harry
you know?
Put so much work into the YouTube channel. Head over there and hit subscribe. It would mean the world to us.